your will and doing your will, so that we be blessed all the days of our life, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. And fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us the spirit of truth and spirit of revelation and wisdom, so that we walk in your truth and we be blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to test Jin, you chose the you chose the Isaiah chapter 60. Could you do me a favor, turn back to Isaiah chapter 60? Do you know what it really means? Why you choose this passage? And then later on you choose the song, right? I want to test to see whether you understand the passage. Why you choose Isaiah 60? It was what was your thought? Arise, shine, for your life has come, and the glory of the Lord rise upon you. See, darkness covered the earth, and thick darkness is over the deep. But the Lord rise upon you, and his glory appear over you. So why are you choosing this one before you choose this song? So, first of all, what does it mean in that Isaiah chapter 16? Do you know? Praise God, glory. But praise God, glory is just a sermon. Why praise God, glory? Who's arise? We arise? Who arise? You say, okay, Lord, arise, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rise upon you. I don't know, my English is not as good as you, but I don't think that arise is talking about the Lord. Arise talking about man sign. Right? Because now they are in distress. You know, there's a war over there. A lot of people die, there's no glory there. This land is supposed to be a land flowing with milk and honey, and yet in desolation, in devastation. Now arise, don't be afraid. The glory of the Lord come. These talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? Because when I see the song that you sing, talk about the sun and the moon, by the time Jesus Christ comes back, no sun and no moonlight. Right? Alright. Well, when you choose the passage, make sure you understand that. Arise, not asking Jesus Christ for arise. Arise, asking the land of Zion, the people of Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Your Lord Jesus Christ come back now. Okay? People now, the whole world will look down upon the Jewish people now. Because that place is desolation. That place is supposed to be a land flowing with milk and honey, but because they walk away from God, they don't believe Jesus is the Christ, they don't believe Jesus is the Lord, they don't get blessing. It's the worst land. And you know what? Before Jesus Christ comes back, that place becomes a desert. They call it wilderness. Okay? That's why arise. Don't worry. Anyway. Now, I'm testing you again. What's the title of this sermon? Oh, that's not my change, my title also. Oh, wow. Oh, come on, give me a break, okay? And I'm about mystery. And versus God's secret wisdom. Why you change my title also when you change everything, you know? Oh, man.
You make me disappointed today, okay? Anyway,
I'm going to concentrate my sermon based upon two things: God's mystery and God's secret wisdom.
Okay? First of all, I talk about God's mystery. What is God's mystery? Now, I want you to know why Paul saying what he said. Okay? So that you know, if you really want to follow the example of Paul, you have to understand what is the problem in the church of Corinth. Okay? Now, chapter 1, verse 10. And Paul said that, I appeal to you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. In other words, in this church, there are division, and they don't agree with each other in mind and in thought. On top of that, the Corinthian household have informed Paul that there are quarrels among them. There's arguing, because within the church, different people have different understanding of the scripture, and they, some people think it is like that, the other thing is the other way. So there's quarrel, okay? Now, I say that again. There are division within this church, and there are quarrel within the church, and yet Paul talk about God's mystery. Now, I want to go back. Chapter 3, verse 1. And so that you know the conditions of the church, the maturity of the church. Chapter 3, verse 1, brother, I could not address you as spiritual because you are still an infant in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1, brother, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly, merely infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready, and you are still worldly, since there is jealousy, quarreling among you. In other words, this church, there are division, this church, there is quarreling, and this church is a mere infant. This church is not mature. What is the problem with Paul? If this church is not mature, why Paul talk about God's mystery? Because that's the only way to change the church. Because God's mystery can cause an infant to grow into maturity. Unfortunately, not very many people understand that. So that's why within the church, they come to the church, they don't bring the Bible, they don't even read the Bible, and they don't understand the Bible, and that's why the pastor keep on feeding spiritual milk. This church has a big problem. They divide the whole church. And they're quarreling. Because they're not united in mind, they're not united in thought. And God give them the main theme. What can unite your thought and my thought together so that we agree with one another, so that we go into maturity, so that there's no more division, no more quarreling. God's wisdom and God's power are the solution. Okay, I talk about God's mystery. You write beside God's mystery, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. What are God's mystery? God's mystery is Jesus is Christ. On top of that, God's mystery is Christ crucified. When there are problems within the church, if you want to solve the problem within the church, every one of us has to focus ourselves, not on within yourself. You have to focus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus Christ, according to Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus Christ is a perfect unity, unison with our Heavenly Father. Have the same thought, same mind, and same heart. In order for brother and sister to unite perfectly in thought and in mind, we all have to turn our mind, turn our eyes upon Jesus, and knowing that He is the Christ, He is the Messiah, and He is so filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are controlled by your own flesh, you control by your flesh, I control by my flesh, you tell your opinion, I tell my opinion, we won't be united together. The church will be divided. Unless we deny ourselves, we don't say what we like to say, we keep our mouth shut and listen to what Jesus has to say, then we'll be united in our mind and in our thought together. And there will be no quarrel. Because everybody just like to form a quarrel. A foolish man loves to voice his opinion. You voice your opinion, then you divide the church. Because your opinion is not the opinion of God. Okay? Now, Jesus is the Messiah, He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus Christ crucified His own flesh. He wasn't let His flesh to control His action. He wasn't let His flesh to control His speech. He didn't say what He liked to say. If you study the Gospel of John carefully, you say that the word that I say is Father's word, my Father's word. The action that I do is my Father want me to do. I didn't do what I like to do. I don't know whether you remember in chapter 7, when his brother James and Jude complained about him. If you want to show off, show your power. Don't show off your power in Galilee, in Nazareth. Show off your power in Jerusalem, in the big city. And Jesus said, you like to go to the place you like to go. You are free because you're not controlled by the word of God. But for me, I don't. If my Father wants me to go to Jerusalem, I go to Jerusalem. If the Father don't want me to go to Jerusalem, I don't go to Jerusalem. That's why when Paul said that, I follow the example of Jesus Christ. I run the race. That race is not his own race. The race that Jesus Christ wanted me to run. That's what it means I have run the race. I fought the fight. I kept the faith. Brother and sister. What are the God mystery? Follow after me. God mystery is Jesus is the Christ. Until now, after Paul preached about this message, 2,000 years now has already passed. The Jewish people still do not believe Jesus is the Christ. The Jewish people still believe that I crucified not the Christ, I crucified Jesus. Jesus is sinner. Jesus is not the Messiah. Until now, they still don't believe in it. And this truth still becomes the hidden truth. Until you turn to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul explained to us why, how come the Jewish people so stubborn? Because the Jewish people reading the Bible until today day with a veil covering his face. He's not reading the Bible with bright eyes. He still do not understand the Bible. So therefore I'm asking you, when you quote that passage, do you know what you're talking about? Isn't your English better than me, right? Supposing, yes. And you say, arise, say you are Jesus, arise. Arise, then now you are right, you shine, you know? No. He said, now you are in humble situation, don't be afraid. When Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to give glory to you. You are right. Telling that Mount Zion arrived, Jerusalem arrived, the people who are in that desperate situation, you are right now. Because Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to give you the glory. That's what it made me. Well, you don't have to believe in me. All you have to do is study the entire chapter 30, then you know. Chapter 60, then you know. Now it's a bonus to you. Okay? I tell you a bonus. I want you to write that down in your Bible. Okay? And in Isaiah chapter 9, you write that down. First coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 60, the second coming. Okay. In order for us to fully understand the gospel, you have to go back to study 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Talk about the first coming of Jesus Christ, second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? And in his first coming, the sun is shining very bright. The moon is shining too. In the second coming, no more sunlight, no more moonlight. Because Jesus Christ shines. Then the whole world knows, wow, Jesus is the Creator. Okay? And now I want to go back to prove to you this is God's mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, when I came to you, brother, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaim to you God's mystery. As Paul proclaimed to the infant, mere infants in Christ, and he proclaimed to them God's mystery, because Paul wanted them to grow. That's the only way to grow, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, upon the God mystery. If you don't know who Jesus is, you are still outside. You are still outsider, sojourner, stranger. Verse 2. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ. I say that again. Paul said that, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus is the Christ. And he knows that when he proclaims Jesus is the Christ, he will be kicked out of the synagogue. But he insists proclaiming that, because that's the only way you can save the audience. Secondly, he proclaimed Christ crucified. Christ crucified. I want you to circle the word. Whatever you preach, whatever you teach, you have to make a resolution. You have to make up your mind. What are you going to do? Are you going to do things that is in the Lord? Or are you going to do things to please people? Now I want to go back chapter 1. Go back chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross, the message of the cross is the message of Christ crucified. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, the message of Christ crucified is the power of God. Verse 18. In verse 21, when Paul preached about Christ crucified, he not only preaching the power of God, he preaching the wisdom of God. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, through its worldly wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Gospel or good news cannot save everyone. Gospel can only save those who believe. I want you to circle the word, save those who believe. This passage is in conformity with the passage of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Circle the word, everyone who believes. The gospel is not saving everyone. The gospel only saving the one who believe. In other words, if you say, oh, he's the infant, he's just a wee infant, he wasn't growing to maturity, if you preach something else, you are not saving him. You only preach what can be saved. Okay? And that's why, go to 23, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. But we preach Christ crucified. When I preach Christ crucified, it becomes a stumbling block to the Jews because the Jews won't believe in it. A stumbling block to the Jews is only those who do not believe. And a foolishness to the Gentile. Why? Why is it like that? Because Gentiles are perishing. Verse 24. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. I say that one more time. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Now, of Christ crucified is the power of God, 118. Christ crucified is also wisdom of God, 121. I put it all together, this is God's wisdom. Okay, this mystery, this gospel can only save all who believe. And that is the gospel. That mystery is the gospel. Okay? Unfortunately, until now, the Jewish people still do not believe in this dark mystery. Jesus is the Christ and Christ crucified. And now, as far as the Christian church is concerned, they only believe Jesus is the Christ. They partially believe Christ crucified because they don't know Christ crucified in leaving them example for them to follow. Until Peter turned around and repent. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. To 21. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? When you suffer for your sin, there's no reward, even though you endure the pain and suffering. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And God is going to praise you, God is pleased with you, and He's going to reward you by answering your prayer. Verse 21. To this you were called. I want you to circle the word. You were called. You were called to this. To what? You were called to do good and suffer for Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the word. You were called. You were called to this. That means you were called to carry your own cross. I want you to write that down right beside chapter 2, verse 21. First Peter 2:21. To this you were called. All Christians were called to carry your own cross. You write down Matthew 16:24-25. Follow after me. Don't ever think you call yourself Christian. I don't need to carry the cross. You are not believing the Bible. You are not believing God. Okay? All Christians are called to carry the cross, your own cross. Could you do me a favor? Assuming I don't understand this. Okay? And I'm going to show you how I'm going to interpret the Bible. If I'm not called to carry my own cross, that means Jesus Christ called me to go to hell. Is Jesus Christ called me to go to hell? I don't think Jesus Christ called me to go to hell. For verse 25, Matthew chapter 16, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Who wants to save his life? You don't carry the cross, you try to save your life. And Jesus said you will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus Christ, willing to follow him, will find the life. I don't think Jesus Christ called me to go to hell. Right beside 16:25, take a look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For as I often told you before, and now say it again, even with tears, many live as enemy of the cross of Christ. That means a lot of Christians, they think the cross of Christ is his enemy. He said, no way, God did not call me to carry my own cross. I have a choice. Okay, if you have a choice, take a look at the destiny of your choice. 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Jesus Christ is not your God. Your stomach is your God. And their glory is their shame. And their mind is on the earthly thing. I don't think Jesus Christ caused to be destructive. I don't think Jesus Christ caused to destruction. I don't think so. I think Jesus Christ caused to have eternal life and to have abundant life. I strongly believe in that. No way Jesus Christ called me to destroy my own life. No way. I don't think so. Brother and sister, wake up, man. Don't ever think carrying the cross is only for the child apostle. Carrying the cross is for all Christians because we are called to this. To this you are called, to do good and suffer for Jesus. That is the cross of Christ. To do good and suffer for Jesus' sake. That's the cross of Christ. This is not our enemy. This is our friend. So that we can get glory and power and honor later on. And I'm glad Jean quoted the message. Chapter 8, verse 17. If we are children, then we are children of God. Heir of God. Co-heir with Christ. If we share in his suffering, we can share in his glory. And I'm glad you quote that. But unfortunately, you don't quote the 8:18. Because sometimes, when it comes to suffering, what we magnify the suffering. You say, I'm not going to carry the cross anymore. But Paul goes on saying what? If I compare my present suffering with the future glory, it's okay. I will keep on doing it. You missed the second part.
I still have the
medal. Right?
I still have the
medal. Yeah, I have the medal. Oh, man. Because, you know, if I just quote the first part, when the suffering comes, I say, I beg off. I beg off. I can't do it. Because there's no glory. If there's no glory, I can't do it. Same as, I don't care how good is your company. You say, well, my company is good. I want you to serve in my work, in my company. But I don't need to pay. 1 week is okay. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you see all other people get paid. You say, goodbye, my friend. Do you understand that? That 18 is how you get paid. When you get paid, you have the strength to keep on doing it. Nobody can work for any company without getting paid. Okay? It's a rip off. Do you be faithful working for the government without pay? Anna? You say no? Don't you love this country? But not up to the point without pay, right? 18 is how you get paid. Okay?
I consider my present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That glory I can share in Christ's glory.
Okay. Well, Sister Jean is very humble. She said, I still get well in my faith. You want to take it off now? Do you want to take off now? According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the only way we can take off the veil is the moment you receive Jesus is the Christ, the moment you receive with gladness Christ crucified, the veil are taken off. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Because you said that, I give you a bonus, okay? If you've been proud, say, no, I don't have veils. Clear, I see very clear, you know, then you don't get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Even to this day, when Moses is read, in other words, when the Jewish people go to the synagogue and listen to sermon and the five book of Moses, they were read, a veil cover their face, cover their heart. But whenever, circle to verse 16, but whenever anyone turn to the Lord, claiming Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus crucified, and he's the Lord, and I'm his servant, and I got to crucify myself for the Lord, then the veil is taken away. So Gina, I would like to read that 3:16. That's the gift I give it to you. 2 Corinthians 3:16. You read that out loud.
But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
So you want the veil taken away? Turn to the Lord, that means accept, acknowledge Jesus the Christ, acknowledge that Jesus crucified, because he's the Lord. If my Lord crucified on the cross to do the will of the Father, don't you think I need to crucify myself to do the will of Christ? Right? That's God's mystery. Okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I don't want to go on, I don't want to jump the gun. Go back to the second point that I want to talk about. God's secret wisdom. Okay? God's secret wisdom. What is God's secret wisdom? God's secret wisdom is, we call it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. We speak of God's secret wisdom. What is God's secret wisdom? A wisdom that has been hidden. If the wisdom hasn't been hidden, then it's not secret wisdom. Because it has been hidden, it's only revealed now. Then that's why Paul said that this is God's secret wisdom. What is that? And God destined for our glory before time began. God destined for our glory before time began. I want to mention what does it mean by before time began. Can anyone tell me when the time started? Do you know when the time started? Anybody know? Don't know you know the answer? You don't know the answer?
Genesis.
Huh?
Genesis.
You know when the time starts? The time starts is the moment when God created the sun and the moon. That is on the fourth day. Chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as sign to mark seasons to mark days and to mark years, and let them be light in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. On the fourth day, there was sunlight. On the fourth day, there was moonlight. But in the first day, chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. I want you to circle the word light. That light is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. That's the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first day, there's no sunlight. In the first day, there's no moonlight. And the time hasn't begun yet. Do you know what it means by a month? A month means if the moon circles the earth for one cycle, it's 1 month. If the earth circles around the solar system, one circle is 1 year. You get that? If the earth just circle by itself, one circle is 1 day. That's how the time begins. Before time began, that means before we have the sun, before we have the moon. Before the sun shine, before the moon reflect the sunlight. Before time began, God destined for our glory. The fourth day, when is the day that Adam and Eve was created? On the sixth day, Adam was created. And then later on, Eve was created. Right? So in other words, God destined us for sharing God's glory. I want you to write that down, right beside chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. God destined for our glory, right beside destined for our glory. I want you to write that down. Romans 8, 17 and 18. God destined for our glory. How do I get glory? First of all, you got to be, first of all, you got to be a children of God. When you become a children of God, then you are heir of God. And then you know that you are co-heir with Jesus Christ. And then you have to remember that, what Paul said. If you share in Christ's suffering, if you're willing to embrace Christ crucified, you're willing to follow Jesus Christ, obey his command, you're going to accept that. To this, we are all called to carry our own cross. Then you will share his glory. You don't share in his suffering, you cannot share in his glory. But when you share in his suffering, you have to calculate the risk. You say that the present suffering is not worth comparing the future glory that to be revealed to. Then yes, I can go for it. You know, when you are young, when I'm young, I like to go to Victoria Park. I skip classes to go to Victoria Park to play soccer. Until I receive a letter from my eldest brother from Australia. He asked me the question, probably my mother, terrible, Raymond. How would he know that I play soccer? He asked me, you look around, do you see any people playing soccer at the age of 14? And what are you going to do? You're going to keep on playing soccer? But nowadays, people, the young people, they don't play soccer. They have an iPhone. They don't sleep. They play the game, computer game. That's why they flunk the courses. And that's why they can't finish whatever their parents prepare in advance for them. They grieve their parents because they love to do their own thing. They don't think about what are you going to do when you grow up. Wesley, are you grow up or you are still mere infant? Huh? No, I didn't hear you. Are you a mere infant or you still need your daddy mommy to give you a milk? You still say so? So you're still infant. You want to remain to be infant? So when are you going to want to go to maturity? Well, I remember, I think a year or two ago, I heard you saying that by the time when you finish high school, you say that you're going to rent an apartment. And I asked you, 2 years ago, you say you can rent an apartment. Oh, it shocked me. You know? And I say, Wesley, how can you rent an apartment? How much money are you making? How much money are you making per month now? Do you know how much it costs to rent an apartment? That's why there's a lot of apartments to rent. You know? Do you know how much it costs to rent an apartment? Huh? Do you remember when you said that to me? I went to your parents' house to eat dinner. I asked you a question. And you say, by the time when I graduate high school, you graduate high school this year, right? So are you going to move out? Or you cannot move out now? So now you're mature. You're a lot more mature than 2 years ago. You're dreaming, you know? You're saying things that you don't even know what you're talking about. So are you planning to move out by the time when you are entering university? Why? Well, why not? Hey?
Life is hard.
What? Life is hard. Life is hard, eh? Life is hard. Okay. Brother and sister, do you know what? A lot of Christians are there like that too. They don't read the Bible. Just like you. And we daydreaming. By the time when we read the Bible, you know, we find out that, you know, we are drifting so far away from God already. Grieve God. You know what you're doing now? You're grieving your parents. Don't do that. Okay? Wake up, man. Okay? Wake up and think about what you should do. Focus your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus crucified. He do the will of the Father to die on the cross on our behalf to save us. And then, and Paul say that. And then Peter say that. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, to this you were called, all Christians were called to suffer for doing good, to suffer for carrying our own cross, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his step, that you should follow in his step. That is maturity. That is a wake-up call. There's a wake-up call for all Christians. When you find out that life is tough, you have to pay your, you know, at that time, I think, you know, you don't even know what you're talking about. You say, I'm going to move out, you know. And he, you know, he thought that he can get a job. You know, he thought that he can get a job. You like to play computer game. And I don't think you can even afford to pay for a TAS or a SAW cable internet. Do you know how much it costs? For high speed, you know, for you to play game, you know. Moses, can you tell me how much it costs for fast feet? 120 a month, 12 months, $1,440. Wow, if you go and move out, you have to pay for your own insurance too, you have to pay for your electricity, right? I think you're going to turn on the light on every day because it's too expensive. Can you really carry out? How much you got for the electrical bill every day, every month? You don't know? At least $2 a day.
$2 maybe for you. I can't believe on $2.
Brother and sister, you know, make sure you understand. Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Spirit, we got to pray for ourselves. Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ carried the cross to do the will of the Father. And we say, Jesus Christ, I want to do the will of yours. Could you empower and help me? That is God's mystery. And then what is God's secret wisdom? God's secret wisdom is when I'm willing to carry my own cross, and God said, it's very good, because God has destined you before time began to receive the glory of Christ. Brother and sister, we now study 1 Corinthians. Before we study what? Before we study Book of Romans, I want to prove to you what Paul said to 1 Corinthians is exactly what Paul said to the saint in Romans. Okay? Now let's turn to it. Regarding God's secret wisdom is God destined you to receive the glory of God before time began. God destined us, for all of us, to receive God's glory. Okay? That is a secret wisdom. If you don't know that, you won't carry the cross. Because that is the compensation, that's a reward for you to carry the cross. God never tells you to do things without paying for you. Never. Remember one thing, write that in your Bible. Every time God commanded you to do something, He's going to pay you to do it. Just like your company asks you to do things, He always pays you. If He didn't pay you, He won't ask you to do it. I give you one illustration. Matthew chapter 28, 18 all the way to 20. God said, make disciples of all nations. That's the command. And what's the compensation? The compensation is verse 20. And I will be with you always. If Jesus Christ is with you always, all your problems are solved. You have no problem. Why? Verse 18. All power and authority has been given unto me. And when He's walking with you, He gives you all power. Okay? Now, in here, what did God command us to do? Could you write that down? All were called to carry our own cross and follow Jesus. That's the command. And then what's to be born? God destined for our glory. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Now I want to go to book of Romans to see whether they say the same thing. Book of Romans 8, 17, 18. Book of Romans 8, 28 to 30. Book of Romans 9, 20 to 22. Let's go through it one by one. Romans 8, 17 to 18. Now, if you are children, that means you confess Jesus is the Christ, then you're born again, you become Christian. If you are Christian, then you are co-heir. You are heir of God and co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. That glory is God's destined us to receive the glory. I consider our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let's say if you refuse to carry the cross, God can make you suffer pain, and later on in life, just like Peter, you will carry the cross. Verse 28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who has been called according to his purpose. Will you do me a favor? Who has been called according to his purpose? What does it mean by called according to his purpose? I want you to write that down. You were called to carry your own cross and follow Jesus. That is God's purpose for you in your life. Okay? Don't tell me you don't understand. Now you should understand that. Okay? I want you to circle the word, verse 28. If you love God, and if you are called by God to carry your own cross, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. If Jesus crucified, he's the firstborn, we are the follower, we also need to crucify ourselves too. So that what God said will be fulfilled in our life. Because God foreknew, for those God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. We all have to carry our own cross. Verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. And though he called, he also justified. Though he justified, he also glorified. I want to circle the word glorify. You write that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Because God destined us for our glory before time began. That is his purpose. He wants everyone to receive glory. Even though we are not a good parent, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We give the best to our children. And Jesus Christ gives the best to us. He received glory from God. He wants all his children to receive glory from God. He reigned with God. He wants all of us to reign with Jesus Christ. Chapter 9, verse 22. I'm sorry. 9, 22 to 24. Not 20 to 22. Romans chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, born with great patience the object of his wrath? I pray that none of the Christians in our apostolic Bible church are the object of God's wrath. I pray that. Because if you are the object of God's wrath, you are prepared for destruction. And I don't think God calls for destruction. Only those right beside destruction, only those who are the enemy of the cross. but you'll be destroyed. We are not. Right? The cross is the power of God. The cross is the wisdom of God. I pray that we are not the object of God's wrath. If you are the object of God's wrath, you are prepared for destruction. Those who are prepared for destruction, those are the ones who think they are the enemy of the cross of Christ. To those who are being saved, the cross of Christ is our power. It's God's power, but God given it to us. It's our wisdom, because God given it to us. Verse 23. What if he did this to make riches of his glory known to the object of his mercy? I pray that all of us are the object of God's mercy, not object of God's wrath. We are object of God's mercy. If you are the object of God's mercy, then God prepare in advance. I want to circle the word in advance before time began. That's what he mean by in advance. Before you were even born. On the fourth day, when God created the sun and the moon. So that he has that in mind. He wants all the created beings to shine the glory of the cross. Okay? Verse 24, even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. Thanks God for that. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to your faithful servant, Paul, what is God's mystery, which is Jesus is the Christ, and him crucified. He not only crucified his own life for our sin, the good for the no good, the righteous for the unrighteous, so as to lead us to our Heavenly Father. On top of that, Jesus Christ laid down the example for each and every one of us to follow him, because we were called to carry our own cross without choice. If we refuse to do it, we know that. 8:28, in all things, God worked for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He worked out everything. He's going to let us suffer pain up to the point we still turn around, just like Peter. At first Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, he refused to carry the cross. He tells Jesus not to carry the cross. And later on, when he comes to maturity, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he tells people to follow the example of Jesus to carry the cross. It is better for us to suffer for good than to suffer for our own sins. If we suffer for our own sins, there's no reward. If we suffer for Jesus Christ, we are destined for God's glory. Thank you, Jesus. We know what you have said through these two books. Romans, 1 Corinthians, and also another book, Philippians. Help us not to think the cross of Christ is our enemy. Those thinking that the cross of Christ is our enemy, they are destined for destruction, not destined for glory. Help us to remember. Help us to go home and study. I don't want to be a mere infant. I want to grow into maturity. On this earth, I want to earn for a living. And in the future world, we want to reign with Jesus Christ. Carry our own cross now and do what God wants us to do. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say,